Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, boys and girls, and welcome to what we're sure will be our greatest year at Rydell.
Hello, and welcome to Fun to Fortune Entrepreneur Startup Success on Blog Talk Radio on the Life Coach Radio Network. My name is Jeff Valinsky. I'm the founder of 2B Enterprises, and I'm dedicated to helping people escape the 9-to-5, follow their passion, and love their work. I am the founder and co-creator of Broadway Bodies, the fun way to work out to your favorite show tunes. I'm the founder of Javelin Business and Life Coaching, and the founder of 2B Studios, a holistic yoga and massage space on 14th Street for people to use for their group events in New York City. So hello and welcome today. Every other week, join us here on Blog Talk Radio for a conversation with those who have created fun businesses and uncovered their fortunes in the process. We're broadcasting live from New York City, that concrete jungle where dreams are made of. Not feeling so concrete-y these days with the flowers budding, starting to bloom, pollen in the air, allergies about, and things popping to life all over the city. Spring is, for many of us, a favorite season. You can see why. Temperatures start to warm up, clothes start to come off. No coats, no sweaters, color on the streets, and people just having another spring in your step. So it is an exciting time of year. I have been away for the show for a couple of weeks, so sorry I've missed you, but very glad to be back today. This month, particularly this episode, we're dedicating to businesses of bloom. I call them bloom businesses. People who are in the business of flowers and the earth and all kinds of things around planting and creating beauty with blooms. So today I'm very excited to have Stephen Campanella right here in New York City. It's Stephen Campanella Design, owner of the Boutique Floral and Garden Studio. Today is a special day because it's Earth Day, April 22nd, 2014. It's Earth Day. So think about your connection to the earth. Think about the garden that you're growing. Think about the seeds that you're planting. Our lives are just simply gardens. In fact, I'm going to read to you or recite before we get in and meet Stephen and hear about his business and how he got started and hear about some ways to get started in the garden business and hear about how he is as an entrepreneur to help you. Let's go into just your own garden. This is a piece called In a Garden. It is something that I would like you to listen to and think about the garden that is you. So bear with me, and in a few minutes we'll bring on Stephen. In a Garden, Bob Pileggi. There's a garden I know not far from here. It's filled with flowers and water and fruit to delight. The animals are friendly, the trees freely offer, even the rocks welcome a sit upon. Here there is only what is, no was or will be. Here there is only acceptance, no resistance nor rejection. Here there is only grace, no burden of story. In the garden I know, not far from here. The flowers there bloom, the water it flows. The trees do fruit in the morning light. In this garden we are made. In this garden we are born. In this garden we are raised. In a garden we do live. And into a garden we will die. And while we're here, a garden we are given to tend, to nurture, to grow. And so I ask you, dear listener, what do you feed and water? Are love and gratitude and possibilities what you see and delight in? Or are fear and anxiety and doubt the dominance of your landscape? When we are born, the garden is given. When we are reborn, the garden is of our choosing. And this is a journey of a life, choosing what and how we tend our garden. So come with me, dear friends, to a garden I know not far from here. Let us weed and plant and cultivate the grace of love and joy and adventure. They're just through this gate. I know. I've glimpsed in this garden I know not far from here. So as we enter spring, really feel spring in our bones, what is the garden that you will plant and cultivate? After we hear from Stephen, we'll come back to this theme of your own garden and looking at your life as a piece of earth, a garden that is given you, the seeds that you will plant, what plants and flowers get watered, what gets neglected, and what perhaps you decide to no longer cultivate and kill. So think about that as you think about your business and the work you do. Think about it in a form of a garden. It takes you into a whole new perspective and detaches you. So let's leave that sort of seed planted for you right now. Well, we look down memory lane a little bit to our last few shows. We have had some great entrepreneurs and business people on our show. The last one we had was Jennifer Britton. She's the queen of group. What does the queen of group mean? Well, anyone who's looking to create group coaching, work with groups, I suggest you get her books called From One to Many, and the other one, her first book, Effective Group Coaching. Jennifer also runs a lot of workshops over the phone, virtually, also travels. And she came here and presented to our coaching group a month ago. And if you want to work with groups and work with groups effectively, she is your gal. In February, we had Fitness Business February. We had some wonderful, wonderful guests. Some of those were the founder of Yoga Nesh, the founder of Pace for Success and Fit Factory, the incredibly talented Mark Fisher of Mark Fisher Fitness, the founder of Intensati and Sati Life, Patricia Marino. One common element about all the fitness business owners we had on the show is they all do group work. So many practitioners start off working one-on-one solo, and one of the things that I focus on with my clients is creating multiple revenue opportunities, online, offline, whether that is writing a book, doing group classes, creating a subscription online model, taking your work, and like Jennifer says, expanding it from one to many. There's many different ways of doing that. Again, in-person, live, virtual, or any combination you can come up with. Just look at, in the fitness business, Look at what the founder of Zumba has been able to do. Now, maybe his model is not for everyone, but he is certainly sitting on some beach, laying back, reclining right now, while millions of people across the world are doing his Zumba classes. So listen to Fitness Business February if you're interested or work in the fitness business, or you're a trainer, or you have a class, or you teach yoga or something like that. You will definitely benefit from listening to those conversations. This is the Fun to Fortune radio show. I am inspired by people I meet every day who are doing wonderful, very cool things. They're having fun. They're creating wealth and abundance for themselves and others, doing great work, sharing their business, their inspiration, their roadblocks, and their obstacles. In fact, I just ran into a college friend. Well, not, he came to New York. We had breakfast the other day. Shortly after college, he purchased a very random business I thought it was sort of random. It's a business that makes the trucks that go behind 18-wheelers. I don't even know what they're called. He makes those things so that the truck can drop off the back part and then go pick up another cargo thing. And anyway, a very super, super successful business. And he's going to be on our show in a few weeks and talk about how he got through the recession because a lot of his clients and customers were furniture and building materials. He had to think quick and retrofit his business for the recession. So not sure how I got on that topic, but in any case, we strive here, Fun to Fortune, to follow the master of living. The master of the art of living makes little distinction between his work and his play, his labor and his leisure, his mind and his body, his information and his recreation. He hardly knows which is which. He simply pursues his vision of excellence at whatever he does, leaving others to decide whether he is working or playing. To him, he is always doing both. Isn't that great when your work and your play come together and you just are doing what comes naturally to you? You're following your passion, you get up every day, not dreading going to work, but loving what kind of adventure is going to come to you that day and working in the field that you really care about, you're really passionate about, and really suits you and your strengths. That's the master in the art of living. So maybe all be masters of living. Before we move on, if you just joined us, you are listening to the Life Coach Radio Network. We're on the line today with Fun to Fortune Entrepreneur Success Series, and I'm Coach Jeff Belinsky. You can find out more about me at www.javelin.com. That's J-A-V as in Victor, I-L-E-N.com. I host this show every other Tuesday at noon. If you have a question or comment about being or wanting to be an entrepreneur, or you have a question for our guest, Stephen Campanella, who will be joining us in a moment, feel free to call in at 646-716-9397. You could also tweet at us. Our handle is Coach Host Radio. And you can find us on the Life Coach Radio Network on Facebook. So I believe our guest today is on the line. Happy Earth Day. And Stephen, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, Jeff. How are you?
I'm very well. Welcome to Fun to Fortune Entrepreneur Startup Success. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Wonderful. So this month Fun to Fortune radio show is all about bloom businesses. So we are talking to landscapers and garden boutiques and floral designers and people who are in the business of the earth. How appropriate for Earth Day, huh? Did I get the right guy?
Yes, exactly.
So, Stephen, let's just jump right in. Tell us what your business is and your business name.
Okay. Well, the name is Stephen Campanella Design. And what we are is a boutique floral and garden company. And we provide services for private and corporate clients, mostly in Manhattan. And the services we provide are anywhere from providing fresh flower arrangements for events, for office buildings, and we also provide garden services such as plant maintenance programs, indoor plants, installations, and irrigation work, tree work, and so forth.
Wow, you sound like a busy man.
It's quite a bit, but we manage. So
this is your busy season, yeah, right? This time of year.
Yeah, the spring season, and we're getting off to a little bit of a late start with the weather, of course, but now everybody's in full force, ready for spring, so we're getting a lot of phone calls in wanting services and plants and flowers, everything.
Cool. That's great. Before we get into the fun part for you of your actual business, you have a really interesting history, and you've always had a passion for art and nature, but you didn't start floral design work until 2005. So tell our listeners what you were doing before, and how did that transition come about for you?
Okay. Well, I started in the entertainment industry. I was a musical theater and voice major. And when I moved to New York 22 years ago, this was my first career, and it was also something I'm very passionate about. So I had a Broadway career, and I'm still kind of involved with it a little bit. But this is something about 7 years ago, I decided I was still doing a Broadway show called Dirty Rotten Scoundrels at the time. And I decided that I wanted to maybe take a hiatus from performing a little bit and do something else and, of course, earn a living doing it. And so I always had a passion for nature and flowers from when I was a child. And so this seemed like the logical career choice next to performing for me. So I investigated it, and I went into that.
Great. You might say you returned to your roots, huh?
Yes.
That's wonderful. So let's go right into what's fun about what you do. Besides the amazing pictures you have on your website of some of your designs and the work you do, what's fun about it? So what's the passionate side for you? Where do you get the most joy and satisfaction? In the part of, you know, in the business side or the creative side, yeah?
Yeah, what's fun in it for me is that I feel like I chose my profession. I wanted to do it. It's something I was passionate about. Again, you know, getting back to what you're passionate about and earning a living. I think a lot of people think that those two sometimes don't go hand in hand. And I've always had the feeling and the mentality that if you do what you love, then the money will come. And so this is something, I think I'm going off on a tangent from your initial question, perhaps. But because of the passion for this, during the Broadway career, I worked with different florists in order to understand the business and to know design. And I worked for free. I worked for flowers. I didn't work for money at the time at all. So starting into the business, it was the passion that drove me. And sometimes I hear people that say, you know, it's even in the entertainment industry, more especially, you know, that, oh, there's so many people that want to do it, and, you know, I'm not going to get it because the odds are against me. And I always kind of have the mentality that, well, somebody has to get it, and somebody has to, you know, succeed. And why can't it be me? Why can't it be you? And it's the passion and the desire that propel you forward in order to make that happen.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, there is that sort of other person mentality. But I like I like how you phrase it. Why can't it be me? You know, I'm good at this and I love it. Why can't it be me? And going into the business itself, so like the creative process, or I don't know how many people you have working with you, going like into the nuts and bolts of the business, the creation part, the design part, the arrangement part, the working with people part, tell the listeners sort of where you gravitate towards, what's your fun there? Like, you know, what is it about running the business or creating the product that's fun for you? Like what do you love to do?
Well, first off, as an artist specifically, it's fun to be able to get up and and go to do something new and make something new for a client, and whether it's a fresh arrangement or a plant installation or doing a garden design. It is another form of, in the creative industry, another form of art. And so I get a real joy out of creating something, and a lot of it based on the client's needs. So listening to those needs, whether it be corporate or private clients, and then being able to come up with a solution that is creative and also is something that, of course, that is going to convey to them what they want, whether it could be for an event or a party, what have you. So I think it's changing all the time. And for me, that's what I love about it, is that it's always something new and something fresh.
Cool. One of the exciting things when I was in Holland years ago, just going to the flower market was so exciting and fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just being around all of that beauty and different sort of, like, yeah, it's just amazing. It's just, how could you not like something like that, right? So going back to the business side, tell us how you got started. What was important for you to get off the ground and move forward?
Okay. How I got started was my last Broadway show. I was also working for managing a flower shop in Manhattan. And previous to that, as I mentioned before, I was freelancing with a lot of floral designers, and this is how I really learned the business and got experience doing the arrangements and what have you. And I decided to go, this is about 8 years ago, I decided to leave managing the flower shop and go on my own. A lot of people were liking my designs and my ideas, and I had some people that were interested at that point in taking me on as their florist. I also had a lot of support from friends who gave me connections with both private and corporate, in the corporate sector, which allowed me to get a few of the foundation clients to help get me started. And really, we just started out as a flower, just fresh flower business, making flower arrangements. And I started in my apartment, working out of my kitchen at the time. So, of course, as the business grew, we needed bigger space, and then I rented a studio in the Flower District, which I still have now. But in the beginning stages, it was in the kitchen. It was, you know, a few clients, and just go, and trying to get more clients. And, so that was the beginning stages. And I was doing Broadway at the time, too, and doing flowers. I had a hotel client, so I was doing a show at night, and then in the morning I'd get up at 5:30 in the morning and go do flowers. So it has to be a passion to work those hours.
Yeah, talking about moonlighting, right? I often tell entrepreneurs, or would-be entrepreneurs that think they have to leave something else to start something else. But if you really want it bad enough, right, and you really want to try it out, then do it in tandem, even though, you're going to have to get up at 5 in the morning, but you're going to pretty soon know if it's something you love or you dread, So that is the way to do it, and that's the way you did it. And a lot of businesses start in their kitchens or in their living rooms, you don't have to go out. And a lot of people also get blocked in, like, oh, well, I need, $100,000 to go get a lease and a storefront and a retail space. And no, you actually don't. Not today.
Mm-hmm.
You need an idea, you need some space, and you need to be online, right? So that's good. That's a great way you did it. And it's actually a fairly conservative way to do it, and the way to really make sure that it's something you want to pursue in a bigger way. So, awesome. In moving along the lines of fun to fortune, so fortune on our show is defined very broadly. It's not always about money. Sometimes about lifestyle or independence or fame or the creation of something or wealth, as you define it. It could be relationships. It could be about sort of the beauty that you are creating in the world. What's your fortune? What's come from your efforts, the fruits of your labor, so to speak?
I think my fortune is, one, doing what I love. I'm getting back to that, and earning a living doing it. The independence that I get from having my own business, for people that are in a 9-to-5 job that that maybe don't have as much independence as they would like to be, this having your own business is definitely a way to get that. But, with that is also more challenges as well, which, we talked about could be, moonlighting and more hours work and what have you. But the self-satisfaction that comes from that, knowing that you did something, you created something, you were successful in doing it, and it's all on your shoulders, it makes you feel good. It's that's the fortune, that it lifts you up, and it's self-gratification that you've done something and you're earning a living and you're making other people happy while doing it. The fortune for me, too, is when I see my clients happy and I get phone calls or emails and, saying, Stephen, thank you so much. The flower arrangements were beautiful. Then I feel like, wow, I've really accomplished something. It's not just about making money, but it's about making my clients happy. And I'm really doing something to change their lives. And it's a direct contact with them. It's not through somebody else. So that's what makes me feel good about the business too.
Yeah, and you touched on, the relationship. So I imagine you've developed some, I keep on adding these words, you've developed some budding relationships in your business as well. people who, like your work, use you over and over, and maybe they use you, for their engagement, and then their wedding, and then maybe their baby, where you sort of are part of their life, where you get a little more engaged with your clients in those relationships. How does that play out?
Yeah, it definitely, it does become personable, and because we are a boutique firm, I deal with clients. It's not your typical 9-to-5 job. I have clients that we have a lot in One Beacon Court in the Bloomberg building, which some very high-end apartments, and I'm like their florist, and it's more of a personal, personable and personal relationship, and we will talk at night. It's 9 o'clock, I'll get an email from my client, and I'll respond, so it is an after-hours thing, and it does become more of a friendship, and and personable, and I like that. It just seems more real to me.
Cool. You mentioned a little earlier a bit about this, but I want you to go in deeper or just expand on it. When you were starting your company and when you were working in theater and freelancing and doing designs in your apartment and all such, and you thought about, hey, I'm going to move this, you know, into a real business and I'm going to establish a brand and get cards and go off and, you know, cut some other businesses off or get out of show business or get out of show business in the way you were, what kind of support did you get? What kind of mentors did you use? Did you have coaches or friends or family, or did you read books? How did you get into the business end? A lot of people that I work with as clients, they're really good at their trade, you know, so maybe you're a really good flower designer, but how did you learn about the business side and creating the business, and what did you use to, you know, build your confidence and knowledge around that?
Okay, there's a few questions in there. First, I want to address, you said cut another client off, or cut another florist off. That's one approach. I do not have that mentality. I don't have that mentality. I think that there's enough work for everybody out there, and I never approached my business in with the idea of cutting somebody out. Although, ultimately, yes, sometimes that does happen because a florist, you know, we get it, and another florist will leave and go on to something else, hopefully. But that's not the way I approach. And I try to give my client the best that we can provide them. And I'd like to think that we're unique in what we do and in our services. And we provide, because we are boutique, we can offer quality services that perhaps a larger company can't provide. And that appeals to certain clientele. As far as making the plunge into spending money for business cards and the studio and inventory and such like that, that came as the business began to grow and we had the funds. But initially, we had no money to start the business, getting back to that. And my parents actually helped me finance, and with a few $1,000s really in my pocket, and I started the business. But as we grew, then friends, as New York is, you know, we all have friends that are in all kinds of industries and marketing and such. And I went to my friends for their advice and their expertise and their connections. There is the business card side of it. I knew somebody, I had a friend that suggested a printing company and a designer to make our logos. And so I went ahead and had that done, and then the packaging. So we branded the company. And then that branding, and then went over to, I talked to somebody about social media. And now in this time and age, you know, technology, the social media is a huge thing. And as you are well aware with the radio show. And, you know, we have so many things available to us as far as that's concerned, and Facebook and Twitter and what have you. There's always new things, you know, coming out every day. So there's plenty of opportunity for that as well. So I investigate those type of those options that are available and those opportunities in order to get us out there and promote the business as well.
Yeah, great. So sounds like you relied on family, friends, and then just sort of like moving, you know, working and talking with experts in their own field to sort of keep developing, keep growing, you know, the aspects of the business, the marketing side, the publicity side, the product side, branding side. You had the design and creativity side down, creative side down.
Yes. Yes, I personally, for me, in the business, I never, there's some florists that are out there that have, you know, a staff of 50, et cetera. And as I mentioned, we're boutique. And I think going into being an entrepreneur, you have to realize what type of entrepreneur you want to be. Do you want the grandeur of, you know, having a huge company, or do you want a more specialized boutique firm? And I must say, you know, some people might think that, oh, well, in order to make a lot of money, too, if it's getting back to that, that you have to have a huge company and in order to do so and, you know, and make a living. But I'm here to tell you that it's not always the way it works. With a larger company, you also have more overhead, more employees, health, insurance to pay, and so forth and so on. And that being said, that's more deductions out of your company. So the less overhead you have, then the more money you're going to make. So you want to keep your overhead low and the income high. So there are two approaches. So between boutique and I think a larger company.
Yeah, you brought up a great point. You know, it's all about margins. You can grow and grow and grow, but if you're not growing and expanding your margins, and nothing's going to drop to the bottom line. Just so, great sort of observation and great sort of clarification of people who are looking to move forward. And you know, do I want to be a boutique or do I want to be a sort of large scale provider? Or most people continue. They start as a boutique or start small and then think they have to grow and grow and grow and grow to be successful. So really good distinction. Thank you for sharing that.
Right. And, Jeff, so, and if I could just branch off of that one more thing.
Absolutely.
You know, I would suggest to any of the listeners that are interested in going through this entrepreneurship and starting a business and what have you, you know, when they reach the point that, you know, take your time in growing with the business. Don't let it grow before you're ready to grow with it. And why I say that is that I see a lot of larger businesses in every capacity, and I'm sure you will agree that we don't get the same customer service that you would get with a smaller firm. We can't even get anybody on the phones anymore with these larger firms. It's always, you know, press one, press two for this, and then we get so frustrated we don't even talk to a human being. So don't let your business grow so big that you are not giving your clients the what they deserve, as your business grows. Don't jeopardize that, the quality of the business. That's my personal take on that.
Yeah. My next question was, what advice can you share with entrepreneurs thinking of starting a business based on your experience? So you've already shared a few things. Anything else that sort of, I guess, came up as you grew or created it that if you knew now what you know then, you would have done differently or come at it differently or something that people who are thinking of starting a business or getting started in business can benefit from your experience?
Anything that I would do differently? Nothing really stands out in my mind, nothing I would do differently. I think the approach that I did take was that the relationships with the people that a lot of the business comes off of the relationships that you have with people. And so you never want to burn any bridges. A lot of my business has been developed with still the same clients that I started with, you know, and branching off from them. And don't think that, you know, for somebody getting into it, that it's okay, you know, to... and that's just one client, it's okay to lose them. That's not a good mentality to have because it's all connected. You lose one client, you're going to lose 10. And you shouldn't think about it that way. So I don't have any regrets or anything of the way I've run my business, because I've always run it that way.
That's a great point. It's about relationships. Some people who are leaving, like, the corporate world, starting a business, they want to leave everything behind, but they don't realize they may be your best clients. So don't burn bridges and, you know, leave on a good note and make sure you keep up your relationships, because in your next, permutation, they may very well be your client. One of my in-between roles before I doing what I'm doing now was doing real estate in the Hamptons and out in Sag Harbor and East Hampton, and I worked on Wall Street. So guess what? I had a lot of people with a lot of money that I had a contact list from, and, you know, made sure I kept in contact with them, and they ended up being my, you know, first and biggest clients because they knew me and trusted me and worked with me when I was an analyst. And now they're like, yeah, sure, I trust you. You know, find me a house, show me a house, find me a rental, you know. Knew I was a numbers guy too, and they're, you know, so I would relate to them. So really, really important is relationships and keeping those relationships up. Anything else to share along those lines of, how about you haven't talked about or mentioned like what it takes, you know, inside you. So, meaning like perseverance or doubts or fears or what would you advise, you know, people like having, like, how did you sort of, how did you manage like the naysayers or your own naysayer or people who are like, oh, that's a stupid idea. You know, like, how did you sort of bump through those kind of obstacles, keep on track?
I'll never forget, this is related to the music industry. When I was 21, I moved to New York, and I was just starting out. I'd come from college and doing a cruise ship and this and that, working at Opryland. Moved to New York and wanted to be on Broadway, and a friend of mine said, oh, well, you and everybody else wants to be on Broadway. And then my answer to her was, well, again, I think we said this early on in the conversation, is that, you know, I said, well, someone has to get the part, you know. And so I always led my life with that kind of outlook. I never approached mentally going into theater or the flower business with fear or doubt or listening to other people saying, oh, well, you and everybody else wants to start this business, you know. And I never thought about it as the odds are against me. I thought they're for me, and someone, you know, there's people out there doing it, so why can't it be me? Getting back to that. And and I think that's most of the battle, I think, is knowing it in, for you, knowing that you can achieve the success and the life and have what you want by creating it in your mind first, you know, and believing it, more importantly. You can't function otherwise if you're fearful or doubtful. You're never going to have as good of a chance of succeeding.
Yeah. No, thank you for sharing that, because I think there's an innate quality. It's a natural default for you to sort of think that way, and that's, you know, and to believe that. But that is sometimes a mantra that business owners need to take on to be successful, is that why shouldn't it be me? Or I'm, you know, someone has to get the part, and that you also deserve to live a life you love. And, you know, you're part of the creating that process. You're not a victim in it. You're proactive in I'm going to create this and do it. So,
right.
Some people really like, you know, a lot of times when I see clients, you know, if they talk to a few people who like, you know, throw the wrench at them or their idea, it really throws them off course, you know. So, you know, for many, it's just how do you get back on track, and how do you sort of remember why you're doing it, what you're doing it about. So I think that's really good.
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you for joining us. I've taken up much of your time. Can you let our listeners know how they find you offline, online, wherever you exist and do stuff? Maybe you have something coming up. You're in a show or doing a workshop that they can see you at, a show, meaning a flower show or performance. So let people know where to find you, how to find you, and how to benefit from all the beauty you are creating.
Yeah, sure. Well, the flower shop, the studio is actually located on 28th Street, and we don't have a retail business, so it's not open to the public, but we do have a website. You can go online, www.stephencampanella.com, and it's Stephen spelled with a PH. We're also on Facebook, so if you do a Google search, Stephen Campanella Design Facebook, you'll find us there, and please like us if you see what you like. And there's information updated regularly of what we're doing, what gardens we're doing, some tips, gardening tips or flower tips of how to make an arrangement, and so forth. It's always something new and different. And you can send us, there's a contact through the website, so if you want to send us an email, if you have a question, if you have an event coming up, something like that, you can send us an email through that.
Great. Well, thank you, Stephen, so much for sharing your story and the creation of your business and some great advice and tips and ways to be as a business owner. I really appreciate that. And,
sure, my pleasure.
Enjoy this spring season.
Earth Day. Happy Earth Day. So everybody listening, get out there and celebrate Earth Day. Go plant something, get your hands in the soil, and get dirty a little bit, and enjoy. It's beautiful out right now.
Sounds like a good idea. Thank you, Stephen.
Okay, Jeff. Take care.
All right. So, listeners, you've just heard from Stephen Campanella from New York City, Stephen Campanella Design. Really, really unique individual who has such a fantastic work ethic and confidence around. I love his mentality of, and I just love saying it over, someone's got to get the part, and why shouldn't it be you? So losing that defeatist attitude, and someone's got to get the order. Someone's got to provide the flowers. And I'm good. It should be me, you know. And really, it's a great state of mind. So today is Earth Day. Earlier, I read to you something called In a Garden. And I want to think about your life as a garden. My life and business coach once proposed to me, get out of your head and get out of the way you see things. And what if your life was a garden? And each aspect of your life, maybe it's a business you run or a relationship you're in or anything, a plant. Maybe it's a flower. Maybe it's a vegetable. Maybe it's just a seed. Maybe it's a flowering tree, a fruit tree. Every aspect of your life. So which of those are you going to cultivate? What seeds will you plant? Which will you kill? So maybe there's some plants in there that you're not interested in nurturing anymore. They're just not serving you. And I hate to do that to a plant, but, you know, it's all sort of a metaphor. So think about your life as a plot of dirt. In that dirt, there's seeds. Some things are growing. Some things are not. Some things need nurturing. Some need sun. Some need water. Some need fertilizer. And some need to be gone. Maybe give those away. Again, in a garden we are made, into this garden we are born. In a garden we are raised, in a garden we do live. and into a garden we will die. And while we're here, a garden we are given to tend, to nurture, to grow. And so I ask you, dear gardener, what do you feed and water? What do you see and delight in? What's the dominance of your landscape? This is a journey of a life, choosing what and how to tend in our garden. So let us weed and plant and cultivate the grace of love and joy and adventure. They're just through this gate I know I've glimpsed, in this garden I know not far from here. Thank you, Bob Pileggi, for providing this poem in 2009, something that I really, truly love and believe in, and believe that our lives and our businesses are close to the earth and are our own personal gardens. So celebrate Earth Day. As Stephen said, get out there, get your hands dirty. My partner and I planted our garden this weekend. We have two large pots on our stoop, and that's the extent of it in New York City. But they're complete with beautiful pansies that are soaking up the sun today. And enjoy your spring. We will be back in 2 weeks. Again, this is Jeff Valinsky on the Fun to Fortune Entrepreneur Success Series on Blog Talk Radio. We are part of Russ Terry's Life Coach Radio Network. And we are here every other week. We'll have a guest entrepreneur on the show who has created a fun business or businesses. Together we'll inspire, inform, educate, and blaze a trail for others through sharing what you do, how you did it, and what help and resources you found to assist you on your fun to fortune path. We're always on a path, we're always on a journey, and we're always seeking a master in the art of living. If you have a fun business with multitudes of fortunes and wealth that don't include dollar signs, or do include dollar signs, but not only include dollar signs, then please email me at jvolensky, V as in Victor, ILENSKY, @gmail.com. Maybe someday you'll be a featured guest on the Fun to Fortune Entrepreneur Success Series or radio show. Say that fast 10 times. Again, thank you for being here. Happy Earth Day. And we truly appreciate you listening in and building the garden of your dreams. Have a wonderful day. Thank you.